Amen. Good morning, everybody. It is good to be in the house of the Lord today. Amen. This is the day the Lord has made, and we're going to make a choice to rejoice in it. Amen. So just throw away all that stuff that's happened last week or yesterday, or that thing you've got to deal with this afternoon or next week. We've came to hear from the Lord today. So I hope you have with great expectation and leave this place blessed today, knowing that God is for you and not against you. He's trying to get all this good stuff to you. Amen. We're living an exciting day. And we've already been declared that we are winners. Our hope is not in the government. Amen. But our hope is in God and in his ever-living word, everlasting word. Make sure you get a Sunday handout today. We got some good things coming. Pastor Jerry's teaching a study on demonology and demons among us today. Don't hear a whole lot about that, but it's still true. The Bible talks about it. We need to talk about it. Amen. So come and learn and ask questions and be involved in the teachings on Wednesday night. It's always really good, just sitting around the table and fellowship with each other, fellowshipping over the word. So I want to just encourage you to come and be part of that. And also, Jim and Connie's going to be here in February. Been talking to them, and they're really February. Where did I get February at? Well, I'm just decreeing right now that February is going to be a good month for somebody. Woo! Amen? February. Glory to God. February is going to be a good month. Hallelujah. February, a good month. Hallelujah. You see that? Mark that on your calendar. February 2019. I guess it'll be 2019. Who knows? When are they coming? November. November. You think I told them February? No. A merry heart doeth good like a medicine. Amen. Okay, November, let's start over. November, the 9th through the 11th, Friday, Saturday, 6:30, and Sunday at 9:30. Jim and Connie are coming. Amen. So I want you to mark your calendars and clear it, and make sure you come, invite somebody, get the word out. They have a word for the church, a word for you and your families, and they're really excited about coming. One thing about having the same person for a whole series of meetings, if they stay in that flow of what God is speaking to them. So they're going to be here Friday night, Saturday night, and Sunday morning with the word for the house. They're operating in a very intense prophetic flow right now, and God is leading them in some new direction, and we're going to get to be part of that. So I wrote an article in the Sunday handout, and you know, you say, well, what can I do between now and then? I've put in there, I want you to take a day, some time during the week to fast something. We don't hear much about fasting anymore, but fasting is going to clear ourselves up to think more clearly. It's going to get some of our thinking out of the way. Amen. It's not for God. It's for us. And just say, hey, God, I'm here. I'm serious about hearing from you. I'm serious about what you're doing and what you're doing in this season. And we're going to be coming together as a body to believe that you're going to do something awesome during this time. Amen. So set time aside during the week, 10 to 15 minutes to pray, how much you want to fast, what you fast, how long you fast or pray. It's left up between you and God. Amen. So just do that to be a part of it, and for that corporate anointing and that power of agreement as a body that for this meeting coming in November. So it's going to be an awesome, awesome, awesome time. Amen. So let's stand for the reading of the word this morning. Later on, we're going to be talking about faith and speaking the word. Can't never hear enough about faith. Amen. Can't never hear enough about faith. Psalms 91 tells us, he who dwells in the secret place of the shelter of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty, or shall rest in the shadow of the Almighty. We as Christians need to learn how to rest in what Jesus has already done for us. Amen. And not strive, but rest. We'll rest in the shadow. I will say of the Lord, your words are very powerful. Because what you speak is what you give power to. Amen. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. He's going to save you from the fowler's snare, from the deadly pestilence. He'll cover you with His feathers, and under His wings you will find refuge. And His faithfulness will be your shield. You'll not fear the terror by night, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor the pestle that stalks in darkness, nor the plague that destroys at midday. 1,000 will fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it'll come not near you. And you will only observe with your eyes and see the punishment of the wicked. If you make the Most High your dwelling, even the Lord, who is your refuge, no harm will befall you, no disaster will come near your tent. For He has commanded His angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways, and they will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. You will tread upon all these things, and they'll not harm you, the Word goes on to tell us. So we're going to praise the One that has given us protection today, and that has kept guard over us and watched over us. So just lift your hands right now. Father, we just welcome your presence in this place today. We just thank you, Lord, for just sitting over us, Holy Spirit, and brooding over us today and bringing to birth some things that are stirring in our spirits today. We've come, Lord, with ears to hear something we may never have heard before, and with eyes to see beyond what we're seeing at the present, knowing that there's more, and that we're just tapping into more and more and learning more and more of those things that you have for us. We thank you, Lord, that even as David said, you know, God, you exalt your word above your name, and how powerful is your name, but how more powerful is your word that you've exalted above your name. And as we speak that word forth, we begin to see the manifestation of what you've promised, and your word is full of all the promises that you've given to us. And all of your promises are yes and amen. And we just thank you for that today. And amen and amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Just keep your hands in the air. You worship the way you're comfortable worshiping. You know, I remember years and years ago, the first time that as a church we started... We went up to, Scott was in Columbus, Ohio, and he was going to World Harvest Bible School, and we started going up there for camp meeting, and of course the crowds would come, and you saw a little bit of everything going on in front of you and around you, you know. And I remember the pastor, he said one time, he said, don't look at the person, what they're doing in their praise and their worship, and judge them and say, well, I can't do that, or why are they doing that? Because he says, you don't know where they've been. You know, so whether you act like me, which, you know, anyway, whatever you do, but it's what's coming out of your heart, what's going up before the throne, because, you know, we came to worship and to praise. Amen. Hallelujah. Woo. Was the grave in the tomb, and He put you into the kingdom of light. You know, want to shout, dance, clap, praise, you know, focus in on what he's done and where you are in him. I saw a clip, and I thought, man, that's awesome. I don't get into politics. I know what I believe, and I know what I think, but it's nobody's business. You ask me personally, and I might talk to you about it. I mean, that's just, okay, whatever, but I want to tell you something. This girl was up ministering, and she said, I want to tell you something. She was a black woman, and she said, I don't identify as a black woman. And everybody goes, oh. She said, I am a Christian. I identify as a Christian, and I happen to be a black woman. So I tell you what, identity, politics, uh-uh. I am a Christian. Amen? Amen. And he called me. I ran out of that grave, and that's who I am. And when you look at me, that's who I want you to see. I want you to see Jesus. Amen? And when I think of his goodness and what? And all he's done for me, what do you want to do? You want to clap. You want to sing. You want to praise. Amen. Willie and I were talking before church, and I don't know what got me into this little rant, but I started talking about El Shaddai, the God that's more than enough. And he said, you know, if I don't have it, I'll make it for you. And I'm going, hey, I got myself happy this morning. Sometimes I need to talk to somebody so I can hear what I'm saying. Amen? Glory. Yeah. There's something going on, Pastor Shirley. I need to shut up. Come on. Let's do it.
No, you can keep talking.
Keep talking. All right. Ready. You got it going there?
I'm not ready yet.
You're not ready yet. All right. She'll get it going in just a minute. But, you know, we don't need to set our minds on what's going on. When we come together to worship, we need to focus on who he is and who we are in him. And then the power flows and the anointing flows. And, uh-oh, we got him stirred up too, don't we? What are you doing?
She was talking about that young lady that she saw on Facebook. And one of the things she said this. If you belong to a group and that group is going against what the scripture says, you don't need to be going with that group.
Amen.
On the word of God. Base it all on the word of God. And then one other thing, this, y'all were talking earlier, Shirley was about the Bible study on Wednesday nights and demonology. Well, years and years ago when Laverne and I were traveling, we spent a lot of time with Norval Hayes, and that's where we learned a lot about the demonic world and casting out demons and everything like that. And I didn't know she was going to quote him, and she put it in the bulletin this morning, or yesterday. Put in yesterday, and then she was looking through Facebook a little later than that, and there was an article on there from the family that Brother Hayes went home to be with the Lord day before yesterday. He was 91. And they said in the article that all of his family was there with him when he went. And they talked about what a glorious homecoming. When he, the joy and the awesomeness of his death. So, we need to know where we're going. We need to know what we're doing. And we need to know why. We don't do it just because somebody else does it. We don't do it just because somebody stuck a sign in their hand and said something and put us out in the crowd and we don't have any clue what's going on. We're just being rebellious and protesting. And, but we've got to keep a vigil on walking in the Word of God. And it's the same today, yesterday, and forever. Amen.
You know, we started out years ago, and at the time, Lester Sumrall, Kenneth Hagin, Norval Hayes, Oral Roberts, we cut our teeth on the word that these men produced. We sat in their services, and, you know, we learned, and we learned, and we learned, and I'm thinking, you know, now Norval Hayes has gone to be with the Lord. Lester Sumrall went. Kenneth Hagin went. Oral Roberts went. You know, they all thought they might see the rapture of the Lord. You know, they didn't, because God only knows the times and the seasons, you know. But I praise God for the legacy that they left that's not going to be undone. Amen? It's not going to. The word has been sown into our lives. God gifted. God's raising up other gifted and anointed people. But, you know, you got to remember where you got your beginning. You got to remember your foundations. Amen? And when I think of his goodness, are we ready?
Yes,
we are. And all he's done for me, I want to clap my hands. Amen? Condemnation and guilt, but I remember the things you've done, because I know that if you've done it in the past, you're going to do it today, and you're going to do it tomorrow. Amen. Glory to God. We praise you, Jesus, and we worship and praise you, the Lion and the Lamb. The Lion for strength, courage, the Lamb, because he took our sacrifice, didn't he? Glory.
Kingdoms will bow down.
as broken hearts declare his praise. For who can stop the Lord Almighty?
Our God is the Lion, the Lion of Judah. He's roaring with power and fighting our battles, and every knee will bow before him. Our God is the Lamb that was slain for the sins of the world. His blood breaks the chain, and every knee will bow before the Lion and the Lamb. Oh, every knee will bow before him.
So open up the gate, make way before the King of Kings. The God who comes to save is here to set the captives free. For who can stop the Lord Almighty?
Our God is the Lion.
Lord Almighty, you know, as we pray, as we fast, whatever we feel like, you know, Lord, I just want to not do this or not eat this or not drink this or not watch this or give this hour to you, because you know what? There is a line been drawn between right and wrong. It is more evident than it's ever been evident that I know of. There might have been some other times that it was like that, but I tell you what, nothing can stop the Lord God Almighty. Do you know that? Because he's all powerful. And they're gonna kneel before him one day. And I pray, you know, this is the beginning, I believe, of a great revival. I believe this is the beginning of a great turning to God, because people are afraid. And when you're afraid and you don't have God, you don't know who to turn to. You don't know who to believe. But I believe because of the peace that God has given us, that people are gonna say, where do you find your peace? What are you gonna do when? Or who you? And we can say, nothing can stop the Lord God Almighty. Amen. Amen. Yes.
I want to tell you, you're talking about like listening to God. I think that's why you see more on the news and stuff about Lord right now, because people will listen to, when they're desperate, they'll listen to what they hear. And that's why we hear it more now, because we need to. And because the other messages are out there overwhelming. And time, but that's why you see it more and more in the news and about schools and communities and et cetera. It shows up more now than you.
Amen.
a place where mercy reigns and never dies. There's a place where streams of grace flow deep and wide, where all the love
worship. We're going to take up our offering now. That's a part of worship, your giving, your faithfulness. And I thank God for blessing you. And as he blesses you, I thank you for being faithful to give and to honor the Lord. You know, our trust is in God. And we believe that God speaks to you and to people and takes care of the needs at New Life for the nations. Our trust has never been in man. Our trust is in the God who provides. Amen? And he will provide. And he will honor what you give. Because, see, that was the one promise. He said, just bring it to me. Just give it to me. And let I want to prove to you my faithfulness to you in whatever area you've got. You may not need money. You may need peace. You may need emotional well-being. You may need a relationship restored. But he said, watch my faithfulness, because you give because you love me. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. And I know this next song, it may be another new one, but I want you to take heart this morning at the words, at what we're saying. You know, some of those old courses we used to do, the reason I loved them, because they were so simple. And they were so simple that it just kind of got down into you, and you found yourself just saying those phrases over and over. Well, this song is like that, and it's called, and if you haven't done it yet, we're going to start this. You all may go ahead, Father, take up the offering. But it's simply Jesus at the center of my life. You know, the Bible talks about, I don't know which translation it's in, but that if Jesus isn't the center of your life, you may have worry at the center of your life. And man, I got to get that out of the center of my life, and I got to put Jesus back at the center of my life. Amen.
Jesus at the center of it all. Jesus at the center of it all. From beginning to the end, it will always be, it's always been you. Jesus at the center of it all. Jesus at the center of it all. From beginning to the end, it will always be, it's always been you.
Jesus,
Jesus, Jesus. Jesus at the center of it all.
At it all.
Jesus at the center of it all. From beginning to the end, it will always be. It's always been you.
You know, we're not going to sing, but, you know, I surrender all to him I give. I surrender it all. You know, as Christians, we've got to make sure that we don't hold back and get into that trap of trying to do it and let Jesus stay the center, the focus. Worries out. Sicknesses out. Relationships are out. And when Jesus is at the center of it all, then you're going to walk with him at the center of it all. And you're going to see mighty things take place. Because he's the God who said, "It's, you know, I'm El Shaddai. I'm the God who's more than enough." Amen, church. Father, we thank you today that we can worship and praise you. And we focus in on you today, Father. And even as we're beginning to pray for our nation, that as Christians come together, and as people don't identify as this or that, as left or right, but as they simply begin to focus on you and identify as Christians, as your church, that your church is going to rise up, Father God, and be in control. Your church is going to be the center of it all. Father God, we just pray that people would get that image into their minds and into their hearts. Regardless of what you hear, regardless of what you see, Father God, I thank you that you're the center of our homes, that you're the center of our lives, regardless of what some of the situations in our homes may look like, Father. Some things may look like they're totally out of control, but God, I thank you that you're the center of our lives, that you're the center of our homes. Praise you today for the mighty word that's going forth. I thank you for touching everyone here this morning, Father God, that they already know that they've been changed because they've been in your presence. And then they're going to receive a word and they're going to go out of here with the power and anointing, because, Father God, it's in the church, it's in the hearing of the word that you equip us, and then the saints go out and do the work of the ministry. Father, I praise you for stirring that up again in this church. The fact that we do the work of the ministry. It's not the pastor's job. The pastor's job is to teach you, instruct you, pray for you, and counsel you. And as that word gets in the center of your life, then you go out and touch the world. And we believe that's happening right now in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Thank you, praise and worship team. Hallelujah. Pastor Shirley, I think my class is the only one that's meeting today. It's the first Sunday, and we like for the children and the youth to sit in here under the anointing and learn how, and to learn what it means to sit under the anointing of God's word. Amen.
I just thank you for this opportunity to ministry the word this morning. Thank you for the anointing that you've given me to bring forth that word. I thank you, Lord, that we have ears to hear what your spirit has to say to us today, Father. And that we're here to, all of us here to learn and discern that word. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Am I on? I'm not on. I'm not on.
Okay. Is that good? No? Yeah? Yes, it's good, they said. Amen. All is well. All is good. thank you, Jesus. The word tells us in Matthew chapter 21, 19 and 22, 19 through 22. Early in the morning, Jesus was on his way back to the city, and he was hungry. Seeing a fig tree by the road, he went up to it, but found nothing on it except leaves. Then he said to it, "May you never bear fruit again." Immediately the tree withered. When the disciples saw this, they were amazed. "How did the fig tree wither so quickly?" they asked. Jesus replied, "Truly I tell you, if you have faith, do not doubt. Not only can you do what is done to the fig tree, but also you can say to the mountain, 'Go, throw yourself into the sea, and it will be done.' If you believe, you will receive whatever you ask for in prayer." You know, we read through the Gospels, we see Jesus doing a lot of mighty works and speaking the word, and things happen, and the disciples were always surprised by it. But they were under the leadership and the teaching of Jesus because he was training them to do what he did when he left the earth, you know. But they were always amazed at the signs and wonders that followed when Jesus spoke the word. And so here in the scripture, he said he spoke to the fig tree. And the moment that he spoke to it, the word says it immediately dried up. So I'm praying that we see the immediate things. We see the now things, that we're not going to have to wait next week or next year or tomorrow. I believe in there's an anointing, amen, that's coming to the house, that's coming into your life for the immediate things. That when you say it, it's going to happen. Anybody in agreement with that this morning? The blessings of the word of God is running to overtake you. Glory to God. So they said, "How did that happen so quickly?" You know, they asked him, "How did that happen? You spoke and it happened." And Jesus said, "Listen, if you have faith, you don't doubt, not only are you going to be able to speak to the fig trees," I'm paraphrasing it, so it'll be all right, "but not only," he said, "if you'll have faith, not doubt, not only you'll do what was done to this fig tree, but," he said, "you're going to also say to the mountains, 'Go throw yourself into the sea and it'll be done.'" The fig tree was something they could see in the natural. So it would have been easy to have faith into something in the natural that you speak to and it changes. Amen. I remember hearing a testimony years ago of Pastor Randy Parnell's mother, Nancy, a mighty woman of God, a woman of faith, when they were living in Oklahoma. And, of course, Oklahoma's tornado alley, so to speak. She said there were so many times she got outside and she saw the tornado coming and she lifted up her hands and she said, "Not my place. Not my place." And she said she see that thing go back in the air. That was something you could see in the natural. And they, if they couldn't believe something they seen in the natural, how would they expect to see something that they couldn't, believe something they couldn't see? So he says, "You know, you saw the fig tree," said, "you don't only have faith to do that, but I'll give you faith to speak to something you don't see, which is a mountain." When we talk about mountains, we talk about things in our life that come that's contrary to what the word says, whether it's sickness or a financial situation or whatever it may be. He said, "You say to the mountain, doubt not, believe in your heart." He said, "It'll move." Amen? So Jesus went on to explain that this wasn't limited to a fig tree. Amen. So I want you to know today that your faith just isn't limited to one thing. He's given you faith to live life and to live life abundantly here in this earth to the overflow. Amen. So if you think speaking to just a fig tree in faith, believing for it to die, you ought to see what it can do to a mountain. And you can do the same thing to the mountain. So the same faith that Jesus had to speak things into existence and see things happen immediately, now, suddenly, it's the same faith that is in you as a born-again believer of God. It was like I said last Sunday, that you're packing. You are packing. You're packing the whole kingdom of God in your spirit. Amen. It's like Andrew Womack says so many times, you have already got it. The whole kingdom of God is inside of you. Amen? All of the kingdom of God is on the inside of you. So hearing the word, hearing this word is not trying to get something you've already got. Hearing this word is coming into agreement with what you've already got.
That's why when you sit and you hear the word and you hear somebody begin to talk about the word and there's an excitement begins to happen and you lift your hands and yes and amen and praise the Lord and the Holy Ghost chill bump comes. Why is that? Because the Holy Ghost is in you. It's bearing witness with what is already inside of you. Amen? What is already inside of you. Glory to God. So hearing that word agrees with what you already have. Believing that word to be of truth and speaking forth the word of faith into the atmosphere. And then we'll begin to see the manifestation of that which we see, speak. That's why words are so powerful. I don't know if I have in the message, but in the Sunday handout, I was talking about how that everything we see here in this world was manifested by words that God spoke. We're here because of a word. And that's why words are so powerful. How can we trust God to be true to his word? Because David said, Lord, you exalt your word above your name. You know, a person is as good. My daddy always raised us. Shirley, keep your word. Be a person of your word. And if you're a person of your word, that means somebody can trust you. Well, I want to come and tell somebody today that God is the God of his word. And he has never lied. And you can trust him to keep his word. He says, I'm going to exalt my name above my word. Amen. Exalt my word above my name. So a manifestation will begin to happen. And you know, faith is boldness. Faith is boldness. Faith is not intimidated. Faith is not fearful. Faith will cause you to do and think and say things and believe things and speak things that seem foolish to the world. And it's even sad to say to most people in the church because they're not taught to walk by faith and not by sight. They just take whatever comes at them. But we as Christians need to become bold again in our faith. We need to become bold again in our faith and stand and say, but that's not what the word says, and I do not have to have that operating in my life. I don't have to see that in my life. So faith is not fearful. Faith is not intimidated. Amen? Faith is not fear. Faith is not fearful. Amen? And so begin to rise up and begin to speak and begin to see those things happen. Faith goes into the supernatural. Faith into the supernatural begins to bring into the natural what is supernatural. Amen? Because we are supernatural people operating in a supernatural world. And he has called us to have dominion in the earth now. He has called us to walk in dominion in the earth now and to fulfill his word in the earth now. Amen? So Jesus was making it very clear that words have power and to have faith in God. Have faith in God is translated to have the God kind of faith. The word faith means the divinely implanted principle of an inward confidence. It's an assurance. It's a trust and reliance in God and in all he says. You can trust God when he says something. Amen. The words that have power are words that are filled with faith. And this is not our human faith. We all have human faith. But the faith that I'm talking about is that divine faith that has been implanted in you when you became a son and daughter of God. A supernatural faith that speaks beyond this natural. Amen. That brings that supernatural into our natural world. And that faith, everybody's been given that measure of faith according to Romans. You may say, well, I don't have the faith like so-and-so has it. I don't have the faith like that big televangelist have it. Yes, you do. Let it be unto you according to your faith, which means that you operate on the level of faith that you choose to operate on. And the more you get into the word and find the promises of God and find those things that are yours, that's what increases your faith. Because when you begin to speak that word and you begin to see it happening, those things happening, those manifestations happening, the stronger your faith will get. Not that you have more and more faith, but that faith is already there, can be multiplied. As you begin to get into the word and find out what the promises of God, what the promises of God are. That's Romans 12:3 that says, God has dealt or given to men every measure of faith. And so with that measure of faith, what do we do with it? We can speak into this natural world, the things that are in the spiritual world, into manifestation. And we can't just say anything and everything that comes to our mind. Now that's where the trick, that's not a trick, but that's where the key is at. We just can't go around speaking anything and everything and expect it to happen unless it's in accordance to the will of God. And we know that His Word is His will. So our saying must be and our believing must be in accordance to His Word, which is His will. And His will is found in this, in the Word. 1 John 5:14 and 15 says, and this is the confidence. This is the confidence, the assurance and the privilege of boldness, which we have in Him. We are sure that if we ask anything, make any request according to His will, His agreement with His own plan, He listens to and hears us. And if since we positively know that He listens to us in whatever we ask, we also know with settled and absolute knowledge that we have granted us as our present possession the request we made of Him. It's like healing. We know that we can come before God and believe for healing because we know that it's His Word for us to walk in healing. We know that it's His Word to bless us financially. Amen. So those are the things that we can believe God for. So if you find it in here, believe it. Begin to speak it. Amen. With boldness. So have it determined from God's Word that which is in accordance with His will, we can confidently, with assurance, believe God for all the things that He has said according to His will. And when God has spoken, like I said, on a subject, on whatever, then we can have assurance that it's His will for us to have it. So we've already been given that measure of faith. We have all the faith we need. So what's the key to it? The key is to releasing. And we release that by, we've heard the word, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So now we know what the will of God is, so we believe on that which we have heard, and then we begin to speak that which we have heard. It's not enough just to read it and find out about it, but there's a process in bringing those things into manifestation. So you do the saying, you do the believing, and God brings it to pass. And He wants to. He wants to bring those things to pass in our life. And it's like I said so many times, He's just looking for somebody that's willing to believe Him for it and just to be foolish enough to step out and say, well, if you said it, then nothing else can happen except what you said. Amen? So you do the saying, we do the believing, we do the saying, and God brings it to pass. There is no lack in the kingdom of God. Amen? There is no lack in the kingdom of God. And the kingdom of God is in you, so you have no lack. Amen. So start thinking like God thinks, because the Word tells us as a person thinks in his heart, so is he. And the Bible says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. So if you want to know how people are believing and where they are standing, listen to their talking. Because pretty soon, what you have in your mind is what you're going to be speaking. And if you speak, you know, if God held us accountable for everything we say, or not held us accountable, what's the word I'm looking for? If we truly believed everything that we said, we would all be in trouble. Because none of us have gotten to that place of perfection and maturity yet, that sometimes we don't say things. We say things that are contrary to the Word. But what happens if you say that thing long enough, you will begin to believe what you are saying. Does that make sense? So if you say something negative long enough, that's what you're going to get, is a negative experience from it. Amen? But what if you took that word and reversed that and said the same thing long enough, that it's the promises of God? Then you're going to believe the truth of what God says. Pastor Lamar was talking about our identity a while ago. When you begin to say, I am something, you know, like I am a white woman, or I am a black woman, or I am this, or I am that, you are giving power to that. And then when anything else comes along, you're thinking, okay, now I've already given power to that word. It just begins to activate. That's what you have been speaking. See, you are a child of God. That's where your identity is at. You are a son or daughter of God. You are God's child. That is where your identity should flow from. And through that, we can release that faith by beginning to speak that. So we begin to think, as a person thinks, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. That's why we renew our mind over and over in the Word. Renew our mind. Renew. We can never have enough of renewing our mind. Why? Because we live in a world and there's all kinds of chatter around us. There's all kinds of voices around us that speak contrary and speak negative things to the Word. Amen? According to the Word. So, you know, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. So I've heard the Holy Spirit say, the walk of faith is not for the faint of heart. The walk of faith is not for the faint of heart. And you're thinking, oh my, I need deliverance from being a faint of heart. If you're a son or daughter of God, you don't have a faint heart. The enemy wants you to believe that. Because if he can keep someone from believing and from getting hold of the truth and the knowledge of who they are, there's nothing can stop them. Absolutely nothing can stop the one that gets a revelation of knowing who they are in Jesus and what they're packing. Amen? The faint of heart describes a person who is lacking courage, unable to rise to the occasion, or fearful. And the Word says, I've not given you a spirit of fear. Amen? So you are not a person of faint of heart, but you are a person full of faith. And he wants to activate, he wants to encourage you to begin to activate that faith that he has already placed in you. So that does not describe, the faint of heart does not describe the one who is the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. And once you get a hold of that revelation, that you are in right standing with God, nothing you can do, have done, or will ever do make you right before God. Jesus did that. Jesus did that. And when you stand in that position of righteousness, there is a boldness that you have. And that boldness comes that I can begin to speak what I know the truth of the Word says. And I can begin to see it manifested in my life. And what I know that God's promises says. You who have been awakened, those that have been awakened to who you are because of who He is, you are like an Esther. You've been called for such a time as this. Amen. How many knows that they've been called for such a time as this? You are spiritually alive, heavenly positioned. The Bible says you are seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. You didn't set yourself there. God set you there. Amen. You are spiritually alive, heavenly positioned for such a time as this. God not only had us born at this particular time, and that you're not no accident in this season of where you are right now, but born again and equipped with what it takes to overcome the world by using our faith. 1 John 5:4 tells us, for whatsoever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory. What is the victory? Whatsoever is born of God. Are you born of God? Amen. Overcometh, and this is the victory that overcometh the world. What is the victory that overcometh the world? Our faith. The faith that we've been given. So faith connects you to the anointing. And the anointing, that anointing, it's for every burden. It destroys every yoke. Yokes of lack. Yokes of sickness. Because nothing can withstand the anointing. And when you begin to speak faith-filled word, which is what the Word says, the Word is anointed. The Word is anointed to destroy every yoke. The Bible says in Hebrews 10:35-36, cast not away, therefore, your confidence. Cast not away, therefore, your assurance. Cast not away, therefore, your trust, which hath great recompense of reward. So don't lose your boldness. Don't lose your courageous faith, because you are destined for a great reward. Not just eternally when we get to heaven, but now. Because when we get to heaven, we're going to have everything. This word is for now. This word is given us as a roadmap to walk in this life now. So what we already have in us is the kingdom of God. It goes, it's already in here. Amen? And so what happens when we begin to get in here, as I said before, it will begin to line up with that kingdom that is already living in us. Amen? So words have power. So when we begin to speak the word, we are prophesying. Amen. And as Kenneth Copeland said, you are the prophet of your own life. So when you are speaking the word, you are prophesying into situations. And every situation has an ear to hear what the word says, because the word overrides that situation. So when you're speaking to a situation in faith and not doubting and believing, and it may be that mountain there, you say, situation of financial lack or sickness, you have ears to hear the word of God. So therefore, when you hear this word, because of the anointing and the power that's on this word, you have to submit to what I say because of what God has already said. Ears to hear. Every situation in your life has ears to hear what the word says. Amen. Has to hear what the word says. So we begin to declare the word. When God asked Ezekiel to begin to speak to the dry bones, notice what happens when he begins to speak and he begins to prophesy. Verse 7, he says, something begins to happen in the middle of the valley. He said, there was a loud noise, there was a rattling. Dry bones had ears. If only you could prophesy. Maybe you've never heard it before, but dry bones have ears. You can speak to your mountains. They have ears. You have to command it, amen, to line up with what the word says. Anything that's contrary to the word have ears to hear, and they are capable of responding to what you speak to them. They may not have physical ears, but they have spiritual ears. The situations that come in our life and the circumstances that come in our life, they will stay there as long as that we allow them to. And they are just waiting for instruction from you to do something about it. Amen. And if God doesn't respond to begging, he responds to faith. That's how he responds to us, is faith. When the beggar was on the side of the road, he began to holler for Jesus. Hey, hey. God responded to him because he had faith to believe that he could get healed. Not because he was yelling and hollering at God. He said, uh-oh, listen, I hear somebody speaking in faith. I need to get over there to them. So the Bible says the beggar threw off his robe. He already seen himself healed before he ever got to Jesus. Amen. So as soon as Ezekiel prophesied, the bones began to sort themselves out. And the situations that are in our lives are waiting for instructions from us to begin to prophesy to them. And once we begin to speak to them the truth of the word, they will begin to sort themselves out. And that's why sometimes situations or life seems to get worse when we begin to give them instructions. Amen. Before they get better. Have you ever noticed that? When you begin to speak to some pain or something in your body, it's getting worse. Amen. That's when the enemy wants to come in and say, well, if God really said, you know, it's just trying to sort itself out. So next time you begin to pray about something and it begins to get worse and worse, you say, that's all right. I know that God hurt me the first time I prayed, and it's just beginning to get sorted out. It's just beginning to come in line. It's got to go. It's got to sort itself out. It's got to do something. Amen, before it gets better. Hallelujah. So as soon as Ezekiel prophesied, he began to speak, and the bones began to sort them out. And so I just want you to know that it's not over. There's some people in the Bible that thought it was over. We can take Jairus, who thought it was over because his daughter was dead. But God says it's not over. God is just waiting for you to speak to the dead things. Amen. God is just waiting for you to speak. Amen. The man at the pool of Bethesda thought it was over because he couldn't make it into the water. You know, this verse talking about something a while ago about starting. You just need to start where you're at. That's how all runners do. They start where they're at. And in the race, they may get tired. They may have to sit down and rest. They may have to stop along and get hydrated. But they don't have to go back to the first part of the line where they started out. What do? They just keep going because they know the finish line is up there. And that's what we have to do. So he thought it was over because he couldn't make it to the water. But God didn't say it was over. Amen. God didn't say it was over. So don't allow anyone to tell you that it's over if God's not said it was over. And they may look at you, they may say, well, you've prayed about this and you've prayed about that, but look what's happening. Your kids are getting worse. They're still acting crazy. Even your dog's not acting right. Nothing's acting right. The people you work with, you're like, Lord, help me. Amen. Then you just begin to say, God's sorting it out. It's been sorted out. That's why it's looking so ugly right now. Amen. So everyone thought it was over for Daniel when he was thrown into the lion's den. But it wasn't over. Amen. It wasn't over. Why? Because God had a plan. Just like God has a plan for you. Nebuchadnezzar thought it was over. Meshach and Abednego thought it was over. And so many people in the Bible thought it was over. But God could put things back together again. When we stand up and we begin to say, Lord, that is not what your word says. That is, you've already got the answer, and that answer is through you, already inside of me. And I'm going to find out in the word, and that's going to come into agreement. And some things are going to be sorted back together again. Amen. Let's stand to our feet. Father, we thank you today that we have been encouraged not to quit, not to give up, but we are a people of faith. We are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. We stand on your word today, Lord, in spite of how things may look around us. And if a fig tree, we can speak to a fig tree and it dies, how much more can we speak to the mountains in our lives and see those things move and see those things taken out of the way that's hindering us in Jesus' name. We thank you that you're giving us eyes to see things like we've never seen before and ears to hear things like we've never heard before. And so many times people may say to us, it's over, quit believing and quit praying. But we choose to stand on faith in your word that if you said it, then it's going to happen because you are a faithful God. And you are to be trusted. You exalted your name above your word. David said, I turn toward the temple, his place of worship. We turn toward you today, Lord. And so we just decree and declare that those things that you have spoken over our lives, that you have given us a prophetic word about, Lord, that nothing can hinder those things from coming to pass, Lord, that you are the Lord God Almighty. And, Lord, nothing has happened in our lives that has not already been answered, that you don't already know about. And you're just waiting for somebody to stand up in faith and begin to prophesy and begin to speak into situations, even in our nation and things of that, Lord. And we just thank you, Father, for what you're doing and what you are in the what you're just working out behind the scenes of things, Lord. And just like the dry bones, we just hear a rattling, we just hear a shifting, we just hear a coming together. And that you made us bold. Because faith is bold. Faith is willing to stand on your word in the midst of everything else that's going on. And so, Lord, this is what your word says. And this is what I choose to believe. And, Lord, I just pray every person right now in this congregation that have come today, Lord, that it's no accident that they're here, that it's been planned and purposed from the beginning of time. And I just speak your favor over them. I speak health over them. And I speak wealth over them. And I speak, Lord, encouragement over them today. I just thank you, Lord, the things that they're believing for is happening immediately, that it's happening straight away, that it's happened suddenly, that it's a now thing. I just speak that over you in Jesus' name, that you have more than enough in every area of your life, that you are prosperous, and that no weapon formed against you and your household shall succeed at reaching its intended purpose. That which the enemy has meant for harm. God's abundance is overtaking you. His love is overtaking you. And you are strengthening the power of his might. And Father, we just thank you for your word today, for this time that we've had to come together as in fellowship, in praise and worship, and fellowship in your word, that we are more than conquerors through you who loved us. And you brought us out to bring us in to a glorious day. And we are living in that glorious day. And we just thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.